I'm here.
Brenda. That's it. Brenda?
Yes, come here.
Dulce?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Chris?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Logan?
Yeah.
Samantha?
Here.
Haley?
Here.
Okay, thank you. We have full assembly. So, we need a motion to adopt the agenda.
Just a quick question, Mr. Mayor. Would you like to adopt the agenda and amend it, or would you like to adopt the agenda as presented to you?
If you want, you could make a motion to adopt with the following amendments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that we adopt the agenda before us with the following changes that were discussed at the workshop. Moving 53 onto the all these resolutions would be moved onto the consent agenda, and 53 would be moved up from item 9 with the last whereas language from the Swampsea resolutions replacing the borough resolution, that minor change. And then 54 moved up from item 9 to the consent agenda, adding resolution 55 and 56 also to the all of these would be added to the consent agenda, and that would eliminate item 9, and everything would be reordered, renumbered, excuse me.
Second.
Okay.
This is Ingrid.
Okay. So, before we move on this, so my understanding is resolution 1953 with its change, resolution 1954 with its change, would now appear under the consent agenda. And did you address resolution 1955 and 56?
Yes, they would also be added to the consent agenda. Thank you.
Okay. So I believe those are all the items that were discussed in the workshop, so they will be moved under consent agenda. And the second was by Ingrid. Any other corrections or additions to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, if there's no objection, the agenda will stand as amended, or not as amended, as corrected. I guess. As amended, okay. So with that, at this time, does any assembly members feel that they may have a conflict of interest that they need to declare?
Mr. Mayor, I don't think it's a conflict, but I do work in education. Just want to mention that. We have a resolution to the funding of education.
Yes, no, you're fine. Okay. Community roll call. So, King Cole, who do you have at your office?
King Cole is... me, Roxanne, Brenda, Warren, and Chris.
Thank you. Nelson Lagoon.
Just me.
Yeah. Thanks, Samantha. False pass.
I'm here in the borough office.
Okay, Tom. Akatan.
I've got myself here. Tuna was here. He stepped out, and I do believe Joe has left the building.
Cole Bay.
Daly here, myself, and Angela are here. Cole Bay.
Okay. Anchorage.
Master Back, we have myself, Annie Bailey, Ernie Weiss, Tom Hoblett, Paul Grunholt, Charlotte Levy, Mary Teshi, Ingrid Cumberledge, Laura Tanis, Nicole Kimball, Shannon Carroll, Amber Yusufovich, and Glenora Dishkin.
Okay, thank you. And at Sandpoint, it's Tina, Michelle, Logan, Mrs. Foster, and Amel. So, with that, any public comments at this time on the agenda item? Okay. Minutes. We need a motion and a second. Bring them on the floor.
This is Brenda. Could we do them as a block, please? February 14th,
yes, we can.
2019 Assembly Meeting Minutes and February 20th, 2019 Special Assembly Meeting Minutes.
And I'll
okay,
second it.
Okay. Second by Chris.
Yes, it is, Mayor.
Correction? Pardon?
Oh, you were just making sure it was me, Chris, that seconded it, and I said yes, it was. Sorry.
Oh. Any comments or corrections on either set of minutes? Okay. If hearing none, there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Thank you. Financial report. Annie.
So,
oh, wait, first, we need a motion. We need a motion and a second to get it on the floor.
So moved. This is Brenda. Put the February financial report on the table, please.
Okay, seconded by Brenda. Carol. With that, how you count?
All right, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you saw February 2019 financials, this is, I really do not have many comments. This is tracking along like it is supposed to. One item to bring before you is something we talked during the work session is other revenue, which is we've received about $11,000 extra to date in this, which is due to some tide land lease revenue and also from the Sandpoint fourplex revenue and a few other leases that we have. So that's why it's over a little bit. Other than that, I have no comments. Roxanne, did you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, Annie, I have nothing to add here. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Assembly, do you have any comments or questions on any of the items in the financial report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to thank the staff for answering the questions during the workshop. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like, Annie did a quick rundown of the impacts of the budget during the workshop. If we could just get that on the record, please.
Annie?
Yes, Mayor, Director and Assembly. So during the work session, I did go in detail about the impacts that the governor's proposed FY20 budget will have on the borough. I'll go over that briefly. Our school bond debt reimbursement for FY20 is anticipated to be around $650,000, which is about 8.42% of our budget, which is proposed to be cut. Our harbor bond debt reimbursement payment in FY20, it will be approximately $381,000, which is about 4.9% of our budget, which is projected to be cut as well. Our local required contribution to education for FY20 is currently $517,841 with a cap of about $1.8 million. We are currently for FY19 giving the school district $900,000 and then an additional about $40,000 for scholarships and travel. I can't tell you exactly how this will be impacted, but I anticipate that this will be reduced by about 20%. Most of the residents in the borough, Nelson Lagoon, False Pass, Sandpoint, Accutane, Cold Bay, receive PCE. King Cove does not, but the PCE funding will be affected in the proposed governor's budget as well. Our shared fisheries business tax is approximately $2 million. our fish landing tax is about $5,000, and then we also receive an extra territorial shared fisheries business tax of about $100,000, which together is approximately 28% of our budget, which is also proposed to be cut in this governor's proposed budget. That all combined is approximately 40% of the borough's annual operating budget that would be cut if this goes through for FY20. That's just an overcap of the impact that the proposed budget will have on the borough financially.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Hearing none. I know we're going to take, looking at, we're really early into, I mean, I know we're 50-some days into the legislative session, but talking to legislators and some of the experts running around in Juneau, they think this meeting may go on into the early part of the fall before they come up with a budget. So I'm sure they're all working hard trying to figure out how to get to this, and was stated during the workshop that the borough is putting together a worst-case scenario budget and a middle-of-the-road budget and basically a budget that would operate if nothing had changed too much. So we're trying to prepare the best we can for it, but I think we're kind of early in the session as far as dealing with the budget, so we're keeping a good eye on it, and whenever need be, staff has been interacting with Juneau by trips down or teleconference talking to our representatives. So as it gets closer and becomes items, I think before both full committees, we'll have more participation at that time. With that, you want to call the question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Dosey?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Logan?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. The investment report, as normal, is in your packet for your information. Anybody have any questions at this time for?
Oh, let me go backwards. Tom.
Yes.
Sorry.
Time
Tom,
you
don't
leaving.
Let them leave you out.
Don't let me forget you.
Okay. You got everybody now? Okay. Good. All right.
Mayor Osterbeck, if
okay,
I may,
so
I was. Mayor Osterbeck?
Go ahead.
If I may, I was asked at the work session to just state what the permanent fund is in these financials. And just to clarify, this is for the period ending January 31st, 2019. So this is last month. The way APCM releases or gives out their reports, we're just off cycle with our meetings. So this is for last month. So as of January 31st, the balance was $43,206,941, just for the record.
Can you say that one more time? We have slow ears over here.
Yeah, so as of January 31st, the balance was $43,206,941.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, again, any comments? comments from the Assembly on the investment report? Hearing none. Okay, consent agenda, which, just so you guys know, it's been increased by moving two items up and adding two. So we need a motion and a second to bring it on floor.
I would move to...
This is Chris. I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second, this is Brenda.
Motion was made by Ingrid first to bring it on the floor, so we'll take Chris as a second. So, with that, Annie, you want to run through them in order there?
Yes, Mayor. I'm not going to go in too much detail on these, but the first one is actually, instead of 46, it should be 47, which is supporting the reappointment of Robert Ruffner to the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Ernie, did you want to just briefly go over that?
Only to say that Robert was critical in the fair outcomes that came at the February Board of Fish meeting, and he needs our support if he's going to get reappointed. Thank you.
Okay. Resolution 1946 was requesting no further cuts to ADF&G and a plan for full staffing and management of the 2019 summer commercial salmon season, not contingent on a timely state budget process.
And this is based on the Swampsea resolution.
And if I may comment just briefly, I think the governor's proposed budget was perhaps a 2% cut in fish and game, so they fared a little better than a lot of the other agencies, like the ferry system.
Okay. The next one is Resolution 1948, supporting the continuation of shared fisheries tax programs and opposing legislation introduced by the governor repealing the sharing of fisheries tax program taxes with qualifying municipalities. This was briefly hit on during the budget, but currently the state collects various taxes and fees on businesses engaged in fishing and fish processing activities. And under there's two provisions under Alaska statute that state how those funds are then shared with the municipalities. So those are in here for your packet for review. Currently, the borough is receiving, 28% of their budget has the potential to be cut by the two, the House and Senate bills that the governor is proposing. So this is just to support to continue the shared fisheries business tax. I'd also like to point out that many of the communities are also impacted by this at a really high level as well. And maybe at the next meeting I'll have those figures for you. Okay, Resolution 1949 is opposing the proposed FY20 state subsidy reduction for the University of Alaska. This cut will be pretty detrimental to the University of Alaska and the programs that they can offer, and many of the residents in the region rely on distance learning, on going to one of the off-site campuses, or even coming to Fairbanks or Anchorage to go to school. So this has an impact on them, and we're just asking or opposing the proposed cuts that the governor has proposed making. Are there any questions so far before I move on? Okay. Resolution 1950 is in support of the funding of the Alaska Marine Highway System operating budget at sustainable levels until reform recommendations are enacted and maintain funding for replacement of the MV Tustamina. Is the proposed governor's budget cuts approximately 68% of AMHS funding, and also I've been told that reservations are no longer being accepted after August 1. So this is just stating that the ferry system is extremely important. Ernie Weiss did go to Juneau to testify on this. Assemblymember Cumberledge also has testified on the phone, and I think we need to join together to support this program so the region can still be served by this necessary mode of transportation. Okay. Resolution 1951 is to preserve the power of Cost Equalization Endowment Fund for its intended purpose of assisting Alaskan and Alaskan communities with the high cost of electricity. There is a power cost equalization program that was established in 1985 that assists rural residents with their energy costs. The endowment currently has a balance, I believe, of about $1 billion, and this program helps serve 91 utilities, 194 communities, including the rural communities of Actan, Coal Bay, False Pass, Nelson Lagoon, and Sandpoint. It does not include King Cove, and about 83,510 customers. This PCE fund also includes the Community Assistance Program that provides funding to most municipalities, probably all municipalities, and we plan on, I foresee everybody getting PCE and Community Assistance in FY20, but that with this proposed method, it probably would go away in FY21. So this is pretty important to preserve this account. Any questions? All right. Resolution 1952 is in support of the continued sustainability funding for the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission and Public Broadcasting in Alaska. In the proposed budget, public broadcasting funds have been eliminated in its entirety. This is to just support that this public broadcasting continues, which is really important to rural communities. Then, if there's no questions on that, we will go to Resolution 1953, which is under the Resolutions section in the packet. This is in support of a progressive graduated statewide income tax as part of a sustainable budget for the state of Alaska. As Assemblymember Grenholt pointed out, one of the last whereases was changed to include language from the Swampsea Resolution. But this is, in essence, supporting, there's two broad-based tax ideas. One is a sales tax and one is an income tax, and this one is in support of a graduated statewide income tax. Any questions? Okay, 1954 is approving a grant to the City of Actan for the Actan Harbor Utility Project in an amount not to exceed $81,500. Mary, did you want to...
Sure. So, yeah, like Andy said, this is for a grant for the city for $81,500. This is to support their harbor utility project, which will be completed this summer. The borough has funds in this through a state legislative grant that is dedicated for activities related to the Actan Harbor. This money expires in June 2020, so we need to use it, and it's available for us for this purpose. And again, it's a grant to the city for $81,500.
Any questions? Okay. Resolution 1955 is opposing reductions in educational funding and supports crafting a budget that reflects the true cost of educating students. This one is similar to a resolution that the school board will consider passing at their next meeting. Basically, this is just talking about the impacts that the proposed budget will have on education, which are pretty big. It can affect the base student allocation by about 22.9%, which is the largest reduction since statehood. It will possibly eliminate the school bond debt, which we have talked about at the last meeting. And I also mentioned at this one that's about 8.42% of our budget. And it also could eliminate early childhood programs as well. So this could be pretty catastrophic to the borough school district as well as others, and we ask that you support this resolution. And the last one is Resolution 1956, supporting the appointment of Cora Campbell to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council.
Ernie. Yeah, so the governor did send his nominees to the Secretary of Commerce. Those were Nicole Kimball, who we have previously at our last meeting supported by resolution. So our lobbyist Brad Gilman was hoping for a resolution, which I think is warranted, to support Cora Campbell. The fishermen are supporting her, and I think it'll be a good council if both of those ladies get on.
So that is everything, Mayor Osterbach. If there's any questions, please let us know.
Okay, thank you. Assembly, last chance, you have any questions? Hearing
Call the question.
Questions called. Tina?
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Hogan? Yes. Samantha?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we're through the consent agenda and move on to new business.
Mayor Osterbeck.
Okay, wait a minute. So before we do that, that's okay. I messed it up different during the workshop, so it's all right. So we have one ordinance. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you use Ordinance 1907, amending AEB Code Section 6.04041, subsection E2, which is the investment section. At our last meeting on February 14th, the borough passed Ordinance 1906, amending code changes to the section to amend the borough's asset classes. Following the passage of the ordinance, Borough Administration was notified by APCM that there had been a calculation error on one of the amended asset classes. So this error deemed it substantive enough to require the Assembly to reintroduce and pass the approving correction. So if you go into that, the one change is in the chart for international equity, changing the targets and ranges. For the international equity, instead of being 10 for the weighting and 5 to 15, it is being changed to 12 to 6 and 18. This was per the suggestion of APCM. So if there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay, thank you for that. So at this time, then we need a, since it's an introduction ordinance, we need a motion to schedule and a second.
So moved.
Motion by Carol.
I'll second that. Second by Josie.
What's that? Oh, Josie. Okay. Thank you, Josie. With that, do we have any questions or no, it's just schedule, right?
Mr. Mayor, as in the workshop, we talked a little bit about this, and it just to correct a little bit of an oversight of our last ordinance, we according to our clerk, that a new ordinance would be appropriate to do that, and it's just a minor change to the last ordinance. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. Any other comment? Okay. So we have before us the introduction of the ordinance. So it has been moved and scheduled for the second Thursday of April.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Haley? Haley?
I say yes. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Samantha?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now we're off to new business. So there's three items under new business, and I don't believe there's any action taken on any of them, but we need to go through those. So, Manny, fourth quarter, Lucian's Eastboro Strategic Plan Update.
Ms. Mayor, I'm back in assembly. Before you use the quarter four update for last year's strategic plan, which was from March 1st, 2018 through March 28th, 2019. This is just the chart in here. There's a brief overview on what was accomplished in the last planning cycle, and we did do a lot. So quite a few of these projects have been completed for the tracks that we set out, or for the goals that we set out for that period, and some of them got moved over to this new planning cycle, but this is before you for your review. And if you have any questions, please let me or any of the others who worked on this know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone have any comments on this? No? I do. I think, since we put this into place, and then this year we had our second meeting on it, I think it's a very good tool. It keeps everybody on track. We can watch the progress go as we work through each one of these projects. There are so many things going on inside the borough right now. Having this, I think, really saves us a lot of time and makes sure that we're doing these as the main items that were put together by the assembly. And with the amount of time that's being taken with other than these projects that come up, I'm really happy that the staff is capable of keeping up and doing all of this. So I have nothing but good to say about having this in place. So thank you. Okay. Groundfish, second item.
Mr. Mayor, Ernie Weiss. So at the workshop, I detailed through this three-page memo on groundfish rationalization, which was spurred by a comment at the February North Pacific Council meeting in Portland from Fish and Game Deputy Director Rachel Baker. There is kind of a push for rationalization in the Bering Sea, and there's been stakeholders asking for it again in the Gulf. And the state has no position at this point, but they are looking for stakeholder input. We had a meeting with fishermen. There is not full agreement, but they did say that they would like to see a control date set, would like to see in any other rationalized programs sideboards on fishing in the Western Gulf, and the Peninsula Fishermen's Coalition is going to put together or dust off their proposal from the earlier groundfish action. And so then we've talked about it. I wrote down some suggestions, particularly yours, on putting together a groundfish work group. That process worked real well for our Board of Fish, and we'll go ahead and do that. I'm going to put together a memo with some of these thoughts in there. There were some questions at the end of this memo. We had a comment about we should have more PCOD in state water fisheries, and how we approach cod or pollock. And I think it's a common thread that we want to approach if rationalization moves forward. It's not necessarily when, that the Western Gulf needs to be treated differently. And we had the pleasure of having a couple guests here in the audience, Shannon Carroll from Trident and Nicole Kimball with Pacific Seafood Processors Association, and they have made some comments as well. So I'll be putting together a memo to give back to the state on those items, and I would take any questions now.
Okay, any questions for Ernie?
Mr. Mayor, just to recap our workshop, there seems to be a complete consent amongst everybody in the region about sideboards on the Bering Sea action. We kind of want to protect the Gulf somehow. If that's possible as much as we can. And then the fishermen also want a control date on the south side on the Gulf of Alaska in case there's additional impacts that are really unforeseen right now. It's just hard to predict how that's going to play out. For instance, in the Bering Sea, the trawl fishery went way faster than everybody predicted this year, and that got everybody all excited. And we don't know the status of our stocks. Season just closed on cod. Pollock, they're still fishing. So anyway, those two items, it seems to be like pretty good consensus amongst everybody, including that fisheries work group. So Ernie's exactly on track with that. And, of course, at the council meeting is the agenda item to bring make sure inshore plants get protected on cod deliveries in the Bering Sea also. And I just thought I'd add that to the discussion, too. But those three items, there seems to be unanimity about. And I don't think we have to make any motion, Mr. Mayor, but I suppose we could. But I think, you know, it seems there's a clear-cut consensus on those. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. And, you know, to add to that, I think if it seems that the only thing that's needed on the short term, basically, is the control date, maybe in the sideboards. And then after that, I think we'll have some time. And as Ernie stated, you know, we talked about the groundfish working group is needed. So I think when you involve all the players in that, everybody has a chance to participate. It'll go on, I'm sure, for some time. Hopefully they can get everything ironed out to whatever they feel is best for the fishermen, and the processors have a stake in it also. All the communities do. And I don't think there's any, there would be no objection to trying to bring everything ashore that we can, because that's who we are. We're shore-based processing. With that, any other comments from the other assembly members?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if I can.
This is Tom.
Sure. Go ahead,
Tom. You know, I'm thinking about this as a small boat fisherman. I still want it in the minutes that we want some of that federal quota into the state peacock fishery
for the smaller vessels in our communities.
Okay, thank you. We'll make sure that's in the minutes. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Ingrid. Some of the discussion earlier centered around the fact that rationalization wasn't a foregone conclusion. And sometimes we tend to get ahead of ourselves on that. So I would hope that we would continue that discussion a little bit more. And I really want to applaud the efforts to get together the fishermen to continue this discussion. And then just the last point, our guests spoke to us earlier. Do we want any of that on the record? Do we want them to speak to us again on the record?
Okay, Ingrid. Yeah, on the first part of your comments or your concerns, I think when we started this conversation, we are not pushing to have rationalization at this time, and I think that's going to be up to the communities and the fishermen to come back out of a working group, I think, with that. But I think it's good to be prepared for it rather than trying to scrambling at the last minute. But I think as the discussions went on, I think control dates are good to have in place, because if we wind up with rationalization, you don't want everybody barreling in from a different area to make sure they qualify. If we put the dates in, that'll stop that. And if rationalization doesn't take place, then it doesn't matter. So I think that just covers it on that front. And if Trident has anything they want to add to this now?
Our guests said they were fine, and I will incorporate their comments as I heard them earlier. They were just kind of supportive and clarifying, so I do appreciate their attention.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the assembly?
Yeah, Warren here at King Cove.
Ed Warren.
Yeah, boy, I remember everything we went through, and we got threatened with Gulf rats before, and the council, and I remember discussion with the on the borough side too. But I still have reservations on this. Rationalization. I just hope we're not like too late, because the, you know, with the cod being on a decline, why would we do it now when if the cod do disappear, so to speak, we there'll be nothing to rationalize anyway. So I'm just one thing I really don't like is everybody's talking in a tone where, oh boy, it's time to get it done now. And so my problem with it is, does the council have nothing to do, so they want to ram that through? That kind of bugs me. That's all I have.
Mr. Mayor, okay, if I could respond for that.
Sure, go ahead.
Only that the council is not trying to ram it through, especially on the Gulf side, but there are stakeholders that would like to see it come back, and there are some trawl fishermen who think we should get ahead of it, and there's others who think that, no, we should lay back and just wait around. But we at least are having the discussion, so thank you.
Yeah, and again, too, Warren, I think, you know, one thing to remember, it's, we're not trying to make any decisions here as an assembly. I think we're just trying to be able to set up the vehicle to put meetings together and have discussions between the fishery groups and what have you, rather than nitpicking it apart on an individual basis. So, again, I'll stress that we're not pushing one way or the other on this, but everybody seems to have the feeling that if something does happen, it'd be better to have sideboards and a control date set, which to me makes good sense. But beyond that, other than putting a working group together to discuss it, to get all the different views on it and see where it wants to go, I think that should be basically up to the actual fishermen in the communities and the processors sit down and talk about. So we would help provide the vehicle, but I don't think we're the ones that should be making the decision, okay? So.
Yeah, Warren here again. Yeah, here at Alvin. I think I was more flustered with the tone of, I know I heard it in Anchorage with the guys there. They're all, I don't know, maybe it's worried about the processor coming in or something. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, no. No, and I think you're right to be concerned about it on your part and for your community. So that's why I think we, on anything other than a control date, we should be, and the sideboards, we should be very diligent and getting the views of everyone involved to make sure it goes down the path the way it should. So, and Ernie knows, so he's going to also, in his job and his standing on the North Pacific Council, keep us well informed on where this is going and make sure that it comes out, you know, to the best, which after watching how we worked at the Board of Fish, I think, you know, I've been to a lot of Board of Fish meetings, and that's probably one of the best organized, controlled groups of people I've seen work together, and it proved itself out, and we came out pretty darn good in the end when we were facing an area that caught 960 pounds of sockeye for the season. So I think it's a good vehicle for us to use and go forward with. Any other questions? Okay. Hearing none. We are going to go on to kelp mariculture discussion. So is the kelp lady Charlie there?
I prefer kelp queen. Sorry. Mayor and Assembly, you guys have my memo before you. So we had a discussion about this in the workshop. This was essentially to provide some options and kind of feel out the Assembly's support for how we, meaning we, the borough, would like to move forward with this kelp project. I talked about a few options, the first being to explore community-driven, you know, cooperative business models and also pursuing two NOAA Sea Grant funding opportunities. And then the second option was to collaborate with Trident on a limited basis to do some permitting and siting for them in exchange for some benefits that we discussed. I think that we had a unanimous support from the Assembly. So if you guys have any questions or comments, I'm happy to take those.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from the Assembly? Okay. I think it's a good report. That's in the packet for everyone. We had a good discussion during the workshop, so we'll just keep barreling along on this one. So thank you, Charlotte. So that's the last of the agenda items, except for down to reports and updates. So this is the part of the highlight. So Annie, would you lead this off?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. In the packet is my report. There's a few other things I'd like to add to this, but one, first on the Coondock Breakwater Project, I've been informed by the Army Corps of Engineers that their federal interest determination will be on hold for a little while. The gentleman had a very aggressive schedule where he was going to complete it in 5 weeks, and he was told by his superiors that some other projects took precedence over this one, so they will be slowing the process down, but he still thinks that it'll get done here in the next few months. But I just wanted to keep you informed of that, that we are moving as fast as we can, but I can only go as fast as the Army Corps goes. So the other project is the Nelson Lagoon Dock Repairs Project. Mary and I met with Moffitt and Nickel, who we hired at the last meeting to be our engineers for this project and project managers. And just in there is just this timeline that we expect the 35% design by April, the 65% design by May, 95% design later in May, and then it will be bid ready in June. I'm still shooting to have this completed by October of 2019. However, I don't know if that will be possible due to the scope of the work, which is rather small, the engineer said. However, we'll try to get it done this year, and if not, we'll get it done next year. So we are moving as fast as we can on that. I had the opportunity to attend the National Associations of Counties Conference in Washington, D.C. earlier this month. It was pretty educational. It was very overwhelming. There were over 2,000 different boroughs/counties represented at this conference, but the biggest points that were discussed were payment in lieu of taxes and then the secure rural schools. I did attend a press conference outside of the Capitol on that, and this organization is very, aggressive on pushing those two issues. I did meet with Brad Gilman, our lobbyist, while I was down there, too, and had dinner with him and talked about quite a few of our issues. When I got back, he provided me with an update that stated that the House and Senate Committees on Appropriations will not accept earmarks this year. However, even though that's disappointing and we were hoping for that, we will still be submitting borough project requests to Congressman Young later this month with the programmatic request that of PILT, payment in lieu of taxes, essential air service, and then the Section 107 small navigation projects, that those are really important programs that we support. We actually are involved in all three of those at some degree. EAS, a lot of the communities in the borough have that. We also are in partnership with that on the helicopter in Accutan. And then the Section 107, we just got approved that at Coon Breakwater and Dock. Some of the capital project requests that we also submitted, because they are shovel-ready, are the Accutan Harbor Float B project, the Sandpoint Harbor Float A project, and the Cold Bay Clinic. Those are basically ready to go once we get the proper financing for it. I went over the budget briefly earlier with the proposed budget Governor Dunleavy submitted and those impacts that have on the borough, and they also are going to really impact the communities as well. Even in this dire situation, I do not believe that this will be the outcome. I just can't tell you. I wish I had a crystal ball that told me the future and let me know what we were going to actually be faced with. However, I do think that in this crisis, if you will, there's been a lot of unique partnerships that have been developing. We've worked really closely with Alaska Municipal League, with NEALS, having meetings with other municipalities and organizations that are impacted with the same issues we are. So school bond debt, shared fisheries tax, those things, and we've been meeting with those other municipalities and coming up with a document that NEALS has drafted that will be presented to the governor and the legislators that show the impact that they're having on all of us. We've been working with, like, the Denali Borough on PILT. I've been working with different entities that normally we probably wouldn't be working with. So it is exciting to see the collaboration moving forward, trying to address the issues that are presented to us. I will be traveling to Juneau next week to testify in front of Senate Finance about issues that are affecting the affecting us with the proposed budget cut and others. And I believe other entities like Unalaska, Kodiak, and a few others will be testifying as well on that issue. Other than that, it's just been really busy. We're working on completing the audit. We're starting the FY20 budget prep, which is a very daunting task. But as Mayor Osterbeck mentioned, we'll probably go in worst-case scenario for FY20, have a 50% kind of a middle ground option as well as best-case scenario if everything stays as is. So it's a little bit extra work this year than it has been in the past, but hopefully we'll have that before the Assembly in May. And we're re-looking at all the numbers. It's kind of exciting to work with all the staff and everyone on getting the numbers as accurate as we can to present to you here in the future. Other than that, I also will have a bond white paper before you at the April meeting. I did complete that the other day, and that should outline our bond history since 1990 to the present. And I look forward to giving that to you here in April. So if there are any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Annie, any questions for Annie on any of this? Okay. So we'll look forward to your white paper on the bonds. I think that'll be enlightening to everyone to have that. Okay. So with that, Mary.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly members. My report is in your packet for your review. There's a couple things I'm working on for the first quarter of the strategic plan. One, of course, is the Accutan Harbor, continuing the mitigation measures, as I've mentioned several times before. And the City of Accutan and, of course, our AV employees in Accutan are helping me with those. In addition, I'm also working with the City of Accutan on logistics for its harbor utility project, which you just approved that resolution for the fuel tank, and that's one of those logistics I'm working on with them. So that's what I got going on for the harbor there. Moving on to the Cold Bay Clinic, we had a project kickoff meeting with LCG Landtech, Inc. There are architects and engineers that are helping us with the redesign. And the City of Cold Bay was also involved in that meeting, and that was held last month. We discussed the current floor plan, some of the potential changes to the design that could result in construction cost savings, as well as potential savings during operation. So we actually had our second meeting last week. LCG has completed the code changes, and at that meeting we started discussing things that could potentially save us in construction and operations, so we are going to meet with them again here in the future to talk about what changes we want to implement to realize those savings, so that will be forthcoming. And additionally, we also met with Eastern Aleutian Tribes and the city to discuss their current status of the project and project's next steps. They had some suggestions for LCG for design changes, so I took those suggestions to them, and they're incorporating those right now. I also took a field trip to Eat's new clinic in Whittier. I wanted to see what their new space looked like and see if there was any sort of design upgrades or changes that we could implement in Cold Bay, since that is one of Eat's new facilities. So there were actually a couple of things that I noticed that we could apply to Cold Bay, and I did express those at our meeting with LCG. So I thought it was a good use of time. Moving on to the Sandpoint School, this quarter I'm tasked with obtaining a quote from Dowell for the Sandpoint School Capital Improvement Project grant application, which is a state of Alaska grant. Dowell has informed us that this grant program is still available, and they did recommend that we continue pursuing applying for it, so that's what we're going to do. Dowell has set us a scope and budget for the preliminary work that will be necessary to get us to the point where we will apply for the grant. And so right now we're still kind of talking about those numbers and seeing how we can just get this project started. So those are the things that I'll be working on for the first quarter for the strategic plan. Are there Any questions on that so far? Okay, great. So other items, of course, I participated in the Board of Fish meetings. Just want to thank the staff again for everyone who made that meeting a success. I was at Swampsea, and I saw many of you there. And, of course, I continue to help with day-to-day operations and projects, as I indicated in my report. So if there's any other questions, feel free to let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Mary, no. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach, members of the Assembly. As Mary mentioned, and Ernie and Charlotte earlier, the Board of Fish was the big thing that we were all involved with, and I, as well as several others, served as support staff there. We set up the room 2 days in advance to get the Kuskokwim East meeting room set up for the fishermen so they can meet to discuss strategy and have testimony printed up, et cetera. And I helped out with printing up testimony whenever that was needed and also kept track of the board's votes and posted them on AEB's Facebook page as they occur, just so other folks could follow along. Some media relations that I was involved with, I worked with Ernie, Denby Lloyd, and Eric Volk, and some of our fishermen to draft a press release regarding the results of the Board of Fish meeting in case we decided to release it. The day after the meeting ended, Ernie and I worked together to provide corrections to an Alaska Journal Commerce reporter story that focused on the meeting. There were several inaccuracies in her story. So Ernie provided her with a play-by-play document of what happened because in her story she had stated that the board left Chignik plans at status quo, which was definitely incorrect. Other than that, we gave her, we emailed her editor as well because there were some inaccuracies in the caption. They showed the picture of the fishing vessel Heather Margine, and please forgive the typo in my written report. It had said that the net was full of sockeye, which it was not. It was empty. The editor thought that was a persnickety point, but, you know, we kind of pointed out that, well, it may seem like a picky point to him, but it's very important to our fishermen. So we corrected them on a number of different points, and the reporter as well as the managing editor were very agreeable in doing so, so that was helpful. Debbie Lloyd and Pat and Martin also weighed in and provided corrections to the reporter, so she got an earful. on another topic, a freelance reporter from the LA Times contacted me as well as Tina regarding the governor's proposed cuts to the Alaska Main Highway System. Mary and I worked together to draft a quote along with Mayor Osterbach for the mayor to have published in this story. We also gave this reporter a number of contacts of people in the community. I'm not sure that they ever did anything with the story. I've been monitoring and I haven't seen anything. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. Other than that, I'm working on another edition of In the Loop with the some highlights from Swampsea, especially focusing, of course, on the legislative update, the speech from Ben Stevens, the governor's policy director, as well as some other highlights in there, since very topical. So that pretty much sums it up, other than day-to-day operations. And if you have any other questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Oh, Robert, this is Chris here. Hey, when were you going to try to publish that In the Loop? Because I still got that one article I was going to try to draft up tomorrow and get to you.
I'm thinking probably Wednesday-ish of next week. Probably going to, you know, do about half of what happened at Swampsea next week and then maybe do a little more after that, just so it's kind of presented in a timely manner. Does that work for you? Next week sometime?
Yeah, that's fine. I can drop that stuff up tomorrow and just get it off to you, and whenever you want to put it in or it fits, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Laura? Okay. Thank you. Ernie.
Mr. Mayor, my report is also in your packet. I can probably be brief because a lot of this stuff has been covered already. Under North Pacific Council, at the next meeting, I will be submitting comments in support of the C3 item, BSAI trawl, CV Pacific Cod mothership adjustments. It's a no-brainer for us. We need more deliveries on shore. And so without objection from you or the Assembly, I will be submitting comments. I'll put them in front of you before I do. In June, there's another action that will affect us, the Gulf of Alaska pollock and peacod seasonal allocations. There hasn't been any, there's been no disagreements among the areas or the fishermen. It seems like it's a good idea to do. Well, that's scheduled for final in June. Alaska Board of Fisheries. Quite a year, as in Annie's report, this was one of the things that was on the strategic plan, and at this meeting, it seems like a consensus that it was a success, and so we checked that box prematurely. There was a lot of help. Everybody stepped up. I appreciate the leadership of the Assembly, Mr. Mayor, from you. The process setting up a work group really worked well. You know, the success of the outcomes, I think they were fair. We can talk about them. There's a memo after Charlotte's report that we can talk a little bit more, but I think it was fair. But even if the board, those seven men, had decided differently, I still think the whole process was a success, and I appreciate all the fishermen that worked hard, all the staff, including those that weren't at the meeting, a lot of help all year round. It worked out real well, so I appreciate that. At the, we can talk about that a little bit more. At the statewide meeting, those three proposals that I had my eye on to change the statewide salmon goals, the sustainable salmon fisheries, and then allocation of fishery resources among personal, sport, and commercial fisheries all went down. Thankful for that. At the joint board later this month, there's several proposals talking about ACs. One, Proposal 28, would allow ACs to sit at the table when a proposal that they put forth comes up. It's something to think about if we want to submit comment on that. There's some groovy pictures of some fishermen on the back of my report. We, Charlotte and I, will probably put together another memo on Pebble. The EIS comment period is open until May 30th, and it would be a big deal, I think, if and when the borough weighs in on that. There's been some requests from fishermen and assembly members to take a look at talking about that, so we will be putting together a memo. I did testify at the House Transportation Committee, traveled to Juneau on AMS, Alaska Marine Highway System, was able to talk to Robert Venables of the Southeast Conference, and a little bit of doom and gloom. Without those Buy America waivers that might take a long time to get, there's hardly any reason to keep that match money of $22 million for the $220 million there. I guess we just got to keep optimistic and keep pushing. Able to talk to my senator, wasn't able to talk to Hoffman, but I was able to see Speaker and Representative Stutz. It was a good meeting going to Juneau. And that's all I have on my report.
Okay. Thanks, Ernie.
One quick comment, if I may, Mr. Mayor. On the Testimeter replacement, it looks like Southeast Conference is looking at the Testimeter money replacement fund differently than we are. So we've got to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Any other questions for Ernie? Hearing none, and next one, I do stand corrected, so Charlotte, Help Queen is up next.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, thank you for your correction. Also, if you were wondering in that previous picture, if you were wondering which one is me, it's the tiny miniature person in between all of the fishermen. So anyways, I don't want to keep bringing it up, but Board of Fish was a really big thing for all of us. We have a really nice memo, I think, that follows this that goes into detail. But just so you know, a majority of my time was spent serving kind of as a clearinghouse for testimony and written comments. A big part of the strategy was making sure everybody was always on the same page. And so that kind of meant everybody had to see everything and know everything. And so that was kind of a big duty for the Natural Resources Department, affectionately known as NERD. And so that was a lot of my time. Also, I spent a significant amount of time working with Pat Martin to analyze and try to rewrite the sediment management plan, which we did not end up testifying about, but it was presented during the committee of the whole process. And although it did not pass, which we didn't expect it to, I think we were able to sort of get our point across about how weird the sediment management plan is. I won't go into any more detail. I'll just say I'm so grateful. I feel like I am very lucky. I had so many mentors that I think people in my position don't get the opportunity to have, especially all at one point. I've met and worked with chief fisheries scientists, ex-board members, really, really super smart people. And the amount of information and time that was dedicated from the fishermen is just outstanding. And I really appreciate everyone. And thank you. So for projects, our Trawl EM project, I went to the Trawl EM committee meeting in Seattle on March 4th and 5th. It was basically providing updates on the projects, and during the committee meeting there was the development of an ad hoc subcommittee meeting, which will be to talk about the coordination plan for the different areas in the Gulf regarding the management of Trawl EM. So I'll be sitting on that as well, and now attending all of the Trawl EM committee meetings and the coordination committee meeting. So saltwater and PSC and probably us will all be working together for another proposal sometime in the future to continue work in the Western Gulf on Trawl EM. So we'll look forward to that. That's a little ways off, though, just as a heads up. Kelp mariculture, we talked a lot about this, so I'm not going to go into any more detail besides the fact that now we will move forward with writing letters of intent for those two grants that I talked about earlier, which I'm really excited about. I will also be planning my return trip to Sandpoint, hopefully in the next few weeks. As I said, permit applications are due April 30th, so that's coming up pretty quickly. As far as meetings, I also attended Board of Fish, Swampsea on the 27th and 28th, the Trawl EM committee meeting March 4th and 5th, and then we have coordination committees, subcommittee meetings coming up in April and in May. And also, Ernie and I will be attending a meeting during the upcoming council meeting on April 3rd to discuss the trawl survey funding and how we think some of that is going away, and it's a concern, and how can we address that. So other than that, the day after the last assembly meeting, we all traveled to Kodiak to meet with the department staff. I thought it was really successful, and although I don't think the department was at all surprised at what we discussed, I thought it was a really great chance to get to know each other. Since then, I've had the chance to work with Lisa Fox, and we had a second meeting regarding the sediment management plan where we got to be sort of frank about the plan itself, and so I thought that was just a nice opportunity to get to know that staff better and talk to Lisa. Also during Swampsea, I met with one of the speakers, Dr. Nicholas Bond from UW. You guys probably all know him as the guy who coined the term the blob. Anyhow, he's doing some really interesting work with communities on how to apply some of his long-term data sets in unique ways that may be able to help on a community level in ways that they haven't really applied the data in the past. And so I talked to him about maybe doing some stakeholder outreach in our area as we move forward with trying to address climate change on a borough level. I think that might be a really interesting project. And I also talked to Laura about potentially commandeering a small part of In the Loop to talk about updates, significant current events in climate change, advances in science, things like that, as just a way to continue educating ourselves and the communities on relevant issues. And I'll just note that a big part of, I think, this process is also going to be just talking to the stakeholders about what the perceived issues are in their communities and how we can address those within the borough. So I think that concludes my report. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Charlotte. Any questions for Charlotte?
Mr. Mayor, if I can make a comment.
Go ahead.
Ernie Weiss, it's been a real pleasure to have Charlotte work in the department. She's it was like her coming out party at the Board of Fish. She's been very impressive. You heard from the representative from Trident that part of their want to work on the kelp was working with Charlotte, and I've heard so many people say they were been so impressed with her. So real good addition to the apartment. Keeps me on my toes, takes me out of my comfort zone, which is invigorating a lot of times. So what a great asset to the Natural Resources Department, the NERD. So thank you.
Thanks, Ernie, and everyone.
Okay, thank you, Ernie.
Yeah.
And I know Trident kind of likes her. They gave her her own custom-made field jacket. So I've seen in her picture there. Anyway, okay, so, again, thanks for all the work. Good reports, everyone. And then we have the maintenance director, Emil.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor and assembly members. My report is in your packet, my new improved report, I guess, is in your packet. So, maintenance at the Stempoint School has been completed. Wired AK was in there. They came in the beginning of February, and they completed all their tasks for their scopes of work, a couple of which were the shocking hazard we had going on in one of the lights in the gymnasium. Just wasn't grounded properly, so every time you change the light, you get a little 120 jolt on the on the lift. And then you put a couple extra circuits in the wood shop and in the metal shop so that the breakers wouldn't have such a load on them and keep tripping when you try to use two or more different tools at the same time. And we got their report, or we'll be getting their report, I hope, on other things that they may recommend or, you know, everything that they've done. Long Building Technologies was in there as well. There were two out of the three of our contractors that were here. They did all the controls work, and they made sure that, you know, everything was run properly with valves and dampers and actuators, and let us know on their reports of what now needs to be cleaned out, freed up, to be able to work correctly for all the for the heating system so we could get the max energy efficiency-ness out of the school. And they left. They tried to leave a little bit earlier, but, of course, due to weather, canceled flights, they ended up having to stay a couple extra days. So we got a little bit of extra work out of them as well, working with Alaska Air Balancing. Third was Bearing Industrial. They were in at the same time. They did most of the work on all the plumbing. They put in new fan in the pool mechanical room, which helped out a lot. Made that temperature go down in that room good, replumbed the pool so that we don't have that big mess in there anymore. Added two new plumbing, hot water plumbing to both the elementary classrooms, which they're there and stubbed out and just need to be hooked up to the faucets right now, so they're all there. And just been a really overall good good task of having those guys come in and do the majority of their work that they needed to do, actually all of their work they need to do, and give us a report on, of course, you renew everything, and then they're going to tell you you need more, and things are about ready to break down, so it's nice to get that knowledge as well as when they're in there. And going in on my strategic plan, which is I got OSHA compliance for this year, try to get all the offices and everything up to compliance for all the OSHA laws and regulations, making sure that we stay in compliance, which we weren't that far out, and we've gotten everything up and ordered and what we need. Tried to get on my form 300A out and post it up that we need to have posted as well there. So just keeping up on that OSHA requirement stuff is a big thing for all of us to, you know, make sure that you're staying safe and making sure we don't have any problems with safety issues. On the burr-related items, I was also out at the Board of Fish. Very happy with the participation that we've had, especially in all three gear groups. I mean, I think that is a big accomplishment because we weren't there and we didn't fight amongst each other of gear groups, which was really nice to see. And we could see that we got what we needed to accomplish by doing so without imploding on ourselves in our own area, and which is really nice to see. And then I also attended Swampsea and just to, you know, get the handle on a lot of the things that's happening down here in Southwest Alaska and what we can look at, you know, better in the economics and everything for municipalities and, of course, our area of government that's, down here. Upcoming projects, I got... of course, this office here in Sandpoint of putting two circulating system units in so they could have equal heat kind of on both sides, running two different thermometers so that one side isn't hot, one side isn't cold. Then it has to heat up one side before it gets to the other. And still working with the state as well of trying to get our last project refunded. That's on the capital improvement project refund before this budget goes into effect of probably not getting much money back, but it was still going to try. It's up in the list of what was allocated for last year's budget. So it looked like it will go through as being funded, but you just don't know when that funding is going to be gone and you don't get it. So we're still working on trying to get that back. So is working hard and nice weather coming. Looks like summer will be upon us before we know it and a new set of lists of jobs and work to be doing. So any questions, I'll be willing to answer.
Okay. Thank you, Emil. Any questions for Emil? All righty. So that concludes all of the... assembly reports. I have a couple comments, and then we'll staff reports, and then I'll make a couple comments, and then we'll go to the assembly. So again, since Board of Fish is the biggest thing that happened to us here in the last month or so, everybody worked hard on it. So again, I would like to thank the staff, Annie, Mary, Glenora, Charlotte, Ernie, Tina, Laura, that all worked hard on this project. And to all the concerned area, it was a great job. And we need to thank Eric Volk, Denby Lloyd, Mike Stanley, all the fishermen of our communities and area that put in the time and effort to testify. And a special thanks to all that donated funds to pay for this in this unified meeting that we had. So, again, it was a great effort. I think it's a good way to go. And I think in the future, I don't think anybody disagrees that we should probably keep this type of meeting going forward. Even though we're going to be out of cycle, we should probably still visit with the Kodiak main office and the other staff each year, kind of following basically what Concerned Area M Boys did. So, and that's a special thanks to Pat Martin and Brad for the effort that they put into this. So, anyway, with that,
Mr. Mayor,
Assembly comment. Yes.
Ernie Weiss here. I don't want to belabor it, but we do have that kind of a collaborative report from Charlotte and I in there, and I just wanted to, echo your comments and thanks. And, again, there was a lot of leadership provided by a lot of fishermen,
I want to put out a special thanks to Melvin, who was kind of a reluctant warrior this year. And I just wanted to mention that. And Charlotte might have had any comments. I don't know.
Yeah, I would just note that the kind of the purpose of this memo was, you guys probably remember, as part of the strategic plan, we said that after Board of Fish, we would sort of review the strategy. So this is us going through and reviewing the strategy. We were very quiet throughout the Board of Fish process with the Assembly because for strategy purposes, and so this was just kind of us detailing all of the activities that have taken place that we haven't had a chance to discuss. So that's what this is. We don't need to go into detail, but please feel free to read it, and so you guys know what has been going on for the past, you know, 6 to 12 months. So.
And thanks for your support. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Okay. And as far as Melvin goes, I thought you guys just drafted him. He has to be there now every time. I remember that conversation in Anchorage, so I just took that as a given.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Thank you. Yes, and hopefully everybody's read through all of that. And assembly comments.
Mr. Mayor, I just point out before assembly comments that quite a few of the staff and some of the assembly members maybe are trying to get to the game at 5 o'clock to support our wonderful team from King Cove.
Hey, so quick comments from any assembly members. Okay. Very good. Public comment.
To adjourn.
Second.
Okay, next meeting date first. So next meeting will be April 11th, which is second Thursday. And I did think I forgot to thank all the processors that were there, too. Everybody put in a good effort at that meeting. So thanks them also. Motion to adjourn. Wilma Carroll.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the game.
They know what time it is. They know that coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be going live to the rookies.